Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. We spent the better part of hour number one, Taz, talking about the national championship game that went Virginia's way last night in overtime over Texas Tech, 85-77. Congratulations to Tony Bennett, DeAndre Hunter, Ty Jerome. The rest of the UVA team on a job well done on what was an unbelievable, almost miraculous title run with what transpired into the game against Purdue, with what happened into the game against Auburn, and then last night blowing a 10-point lead with under 10 minutes to go, and then seeing that game go to overtime after the Hunter three, and then being able to spurt away in overtime. We kick off hour number two, mix a little football into the conversation, because Taz, last week we spent a good portion, one of the mornings, I think it was Thursday morning, I believe, talking about Aaron Rodgers and the column in what was it Bleacher Report?
I think it was Bleacher Report, yeah.
That came out and detailing certainly and not painting him or Mike McCarthy in the most positive of light in any way, shape, or form. McCarthy, if you forget or didn't hear the story, you know, getting massages as team meetings were going on. And missing those. Rodgers basically being painted as a guy that thinks he knows it all, smarter than, you know, he thinks he's smarter than he actually is, a guy that's very passive-aggressive, nasty, you know, reportedly being told by President and CEO Mark Murphy upon the hiring of a new head coach this offseason, pulling Rodgers aside and said, don't be a problem.
Right.
You got to be coachable here moving forward. Rodgers came out and said basically it's a smear attack,
right?
By a writer looking to take Vance's career, talking with mostly irrelevant, bitter players who all have an agenda, whether they're advancing their own careers or just trying to stir old stuff up. What happens is the same tired media folks picking it up and talking about it. This just emphasized their opinion about me already. So it's the craziest thing is there's a super slanted opinions in that piece stated as facts. And then there's quote unquote facts, which are just outright lies.
I don't know. Right. Who knows here? Maybe, just maybe, Rodgers is telling the truth. Maybe he's just defending himself. Maybe he's ticked off. I got to say, I tip my cap to him for coming public and not just hiding when someone's saying this stuff about him, and not to, and to, you know, usually if you're a public figure and someone's saying stuff like this about you, you kind of just ignore it so you don't add oxygen to it if it is nonsense. But he feels it's nonsense, and he wants to kill it. So I don't know. This could make things worse for him with this. This could make some folks might feel like, you know, he's making excuses and he's lying, and some might think he's telling the truth. I would think that for Rodgers to come out like this and be this, you know, outspoken about this and basically saying it's a lie, it's a smear attack, yada yada yada, I would think that maybe he feels it is. I don't know if he would just come out and publicly lie. He's also not going to come out and say, well, yeah, that former player was right. I acted like a douche. Oh yeah, you know what? Yeah, I was the one who set up all the scuttlebutt and the narrative, the stuff about McCarthy getting massages during the meetings in his own office. I started that bad rumor. He's not going to say that. But I don't know if he's totally innocent in this, but I do think some of it is Aaron Rodgers fighting for himself to say, hey, listen, I'm defending myself because a lot of this stuff is nonsense and it's a bitter writer.
The writer's not going to make stuff up, right? I mean, and he's going to get fired right quick, right? So, he's getting told these stories. All right, if you go back to the example of the Murphy-Rogers conversation, and it's not coming from Rogers' side of things. You know, that's not happening in a, you know, cafeteria, Taz.
Right.
He's not pulling him aside.
Right, no,
that's not happening, in front of, 30 or 40 people, you know, at a Green Bay function, a Packers function.
Right.
You know, that you would think, I mean, and we've all seen managers that are brutal, but you would think that Murphy is having that conversation in his office.
Right.
Or where it's an A-B conversation, they're in some room, and it's not so... I mean, to have that kind of a quote coming from Mark Murphy, you would believe that it's either, you know, that side of the story is either coming, and it's not coming from Roger's side because it makes him look bad, then that would be coming from somebody that Mark Murphy relayed that story to, correct?
Yeah, I would think that makes sense what you just said.
I mean,
sure.
And he's not making those quotes up out of thin air. I mean,
right.
You know, though, I mean, that. I mean, I'm just looking at one example.
We're talking about when they brought stuff, right?
Right, when he says when we hire
embrace this type of thing. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
We're hiring this guy. You need to be coached.
Don't be part of the problem. Yeah, don't be a problem. Right.
Right, don't be part of the problem. That's an A-B conversation.
Mm.
So if that story's getting relayed, it either has to come from Party
Rogers
A or
Murphy.
Party B.
Right.
Or a subsidiary
that's
of that.
A good point.
Where Murphy relays that story. That's coming from somebody. So that's not a bitter player. Now, I'm not telling you that there aren't guys that do have agendas. As you know this. I mean, we all know this. I mean, there are people that will make stories up. They'll make things out to be more than they are. If they don't like a guy, if they feel like they got screwed over, if their career didn't go the way they wanted to go, if they feel like they didn't get the opportunity, if they felt like they were buried on the bench, if they feel like, you know, personality or relationships came into play of whether or not they got an opportunity in a particular spot, of course there are those guys. Now, you mean to tell me all of these guys? I mean, where you're going to look at a scenario where Aaron Rodgers says, okay, why would I re-sign if I was that upset with, if I was that bothered by, you know, McCarthy? Why would they pay me? If I was that part big of a problem, why would they pay me? A, number one, Aaron, you were arguably, you know, the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
So they're going to pay you.
Yeah, his thing was like, why would I, like you said, why would I resign?
Well, he said, why would they pay me? And then he said, why would I resign?
And stay with McCarthy if I hate him. Right,
right. But the other thing is, and he says quality of life is important, but I would also think, Taz, that he was reading the writing on the wall, too. I mean, they had a new general manager that comes into play, right? They have a new GM that comes into play.
Yeah, yeah.
They realized that they had not reached the aspirations that they did. Rodgers is in that place every single day. He mentions quality of life, but also, Taz, he's very comfortable in Green Bay.
Of course.
You know, he's been there his entire career.
His whole career, yeah.
So now all of a sudden, he's adored by Packer Nation. They absolutely love him. So now at this stage, late in his mid to late 30s, he's going to pick it up and go quarterback, say, for argument's sake, the Washington Redskins?
Right. No, he's not doing that. Right, but I get your point. I heard what he said, what Rodgers said about why would I, you know, I wouldn't want to stay just for the money. I'm paraphrasing what he said. I wouldn't want to stay if it was just for money. Why would I have stayed? You know, basically what he was saying was if I really disliked Mike McCarthy as much as everybody's saying I did. I wouldn't have stayed. But I think you just nailed it. You know, he probably did see the writing on the wall, probably realized, you know, McCarthy says, no, who's going to go first, me if I'm Rodgers or McCarthy? Well, that's simple. It's going to be McCarthy. I mean, you know, that's who's going to go before if you're playing a game of competition. Who's going to leave the Packers first? The head coach, no matter who he is, or Aaron Rodgers? Well, it's going to be, you know, the head coach, no matter who he is. That's who it's going to be, and that's who it was.
And that ends up being who it was, Taz. Now, he did make something. I want to get your thoughts on this, right? And sometimes, and it was a, you know, well-thought-out and well-stated statement, and he was defending himself. But he did have one I looked at as a little bit of a misstep, right, where he said, this was a smear attack by a writer looking to advance his career, talking with mostly irrelevant, bitter players. He doesn't know that. Who all have an agenda, whether they're advancing their own careers or just trying to stir old stuff up.
Hmm.
Now, when you say trying to stir old stuff up,
there's something there, right?
That means there's something there.
Oosh. Yeah, detective.
Man. Because if you say if there's nothing there, you know, then there's nothing there. When I say, if I'm going to go and, you know, you and I get into an argument, Taz, and I bring up something, but I bring up something that happened 17 months ago, you're going to say, why are you bringing that old stuff up? Why is that coming into this conversation?
And I would do that, too.
Well, but
I'm
you know
that
what
type
I
guy, you know what I mean?
But, you know, when I get into a fight with my wife, when you get into a fight, women remember everything. They're like elephants.
I thought it was just my wife. She remembers everything.
Everything, right.
So, dude, everything. Your wife, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like a she brings a bazooka. I've got a knife.
It's like,
to the fight.
Yeah.
And she remembers every little thing that happened.
I said sorry. It don't matter. Well, why did I say sorry?
Exactly.
What the hell?
I often say, why are you bringing that old stuff up?
I know.
Why are you bringing that up? So,
God, I thought that was just my marriage.
No, but Taz, there's something there, right?
I know.
But I think that's in every relationship,
Taz. I think it is.
I don't think it's just you and I. I think that's every marriage out there.
The women remember.
Maybe there's a little bit of role reversal in some as compared to others. Everybody's a little bit different. But women have it. Women
remember everything.
Generalizing, women do remember everything.
Oh, yeah.
They do remember everything. They remember time, place, what was going on.
Facial expressions
exactly
that were made during that time.
No doubt.
Yeah.
They remember it all.
Yeah, I know.
And I give them credit. They remember it all.
Yeah.
But to Rodgers, to stir old things up, that means there was something there.
That's a good point. The part about the bitter player stuff, like that I understand. I mean, I've seen that in wrestling. There's a lot of guys that, you know, when you work with them, everything's fine and dandy, and then someone offers them, you know, $2,500 to go do an interview on YouTube, and then they bury a guy they shared a locker room with for 8 years, 9 years. But when they were in a locker room, the guy, they never said a damn word to the guy. And then when they get a few bucks, they go to the media, YouTube or whatever it may be, because they're getting paid to rip somebody. Okay, so that's bitterness, right? That's just being a mouse. You're right. For him to say stir old stuff up, then that means there was something there that happened, and you know,
or some of it's true.
Right, or some of it's true.
That's a good point. I mean, there's got to be something, because if I'm not stirring anything up, there's nothing there, right? I mean, it's bringing up old stories, something, old gripes, old fights, old this, old that. Stuff that Rodgers had mentally kind of buried and moved on from, that he thought the organization had moved on from, but now all of a sudden is brought back into the public light with this Bleacher Report 8,000-word piece.
He could have, and just playing devil's advocate, he could have meant, I mean, I'm not looking at the statement, you might be, he could have meant stir old stuff up. That's how he said, stir old stuff up, not just stir stuff up.
Old stuff up.
Moose, as you know. If he said stir stuff up, that's a different sentence.
No, it's stir old stuff
up. Wow, if he said old stuff, then you're right. I know it's semantics, but it's the worst.
No, it is.
Words have power.
No, but you're not wrong about that, because if he said stir stuff up.
Different story. Then
it's different story.
Then you're a you-know-what stirrer.
Yeah, right, correct. All right, stir the pot.
Yeah,
if you're bringing up, that means there's something to, listen, I don't think, here's the one thing. He wants to say, well, it's kind of cementing home what people already thought about me. I don't know if everyone's thinking that this is transpiring in Green Bay. I think the column affects both men. Mm. I think Taz, I think Mike McCarthy, as he refreshes now, as we do know, gets heated during high school basketball games, as we all read in Wisconsin, when he was yelling at one of the officials.
When was this?
You saw this about a month and a half ago.
I don't remember that. Did we talk about that? I don't remember. I didn't see that.
I think it was
miss something.
I don't know if we talked about it.
Well, his kid was playing or something?
Yes, correct.
And he got pissed off.
There was like a foul call at the end of the game that was missed, and he went screaming at one of the officials to where I think he got reprimanded or got held back.
He can't be doing that.
So, as he's in, and I might be messing up the story, but he did get into it with an official.
That's funny.
I believe, at a high school basketball game in Wisconsin. Taz, I think McCarthy is going to have a hard time bouncing back from this. Number one is, he had the greatest quarterback of this generation, and he only won one Super Bowl. He did go to the playoffs, but they underperformed a lot, right? Reportedly, the Jets thought he was kind of tired or worn down
for the meeting
when they had the meeting with him, when they were very intrigued
in
hiring
yawning.
Right as Jet head coach. And then if you believe Taz, that he's doing, if you believe any of it is true, that he is having massages,
the masseuses,
right? Yeah. I mean, I think he's gonna have a hard time bouncing back from that. And I also I think the biggest thing, Taz, is he didn't win enough with Aaron Rodgers. He should have won a lot more. I think for Rodgers, I think the perception of him is what it is. I think people are going to look at Aaron Rodgers as being a guy that's difficult to handle, difficult to deal with, very, very talented. So you'll deal with some of the headaches based on that talent, Taz. But do I think he's the most coachable guy in the world? No, I don't.
No, he's not. McCarthy might end up at the XFL as a coach. I can see that happen. If nobody in the NFL bothers with him, you never know. He ends up as an XFL head coach in 2020, McCarthy. He'd be the top head coach they have. That could happen. If he doesn't get a job in the NFL, McCarthy?
Yeah, it could be in the XFL.
We see guys disappear all the time.
Well, you had Jim Zorn, Pep Hamilton.
Pep Hamilton, yeah. Jim Zorn, Seahawks quarterback. Yeah.
Right. He'd be right. I mean, Stoops was a hell of a hire.
Chuck Knoll and Tom Landry.
Well, yeah. I agree with you. Stoops was a great hire.
Yeah, Stoops was a great hire.
Yeah. And then they're like, we're announcing the hiring of the Washington affiliate. And they're like, Pep Hamilton. Pep Hamilton. And then I walked in the next morning. The following week, Taz's like, hey, see, Jim Zorn got a... Jim Zorn? How is he a head coach? I go, what... A microphone on, please.
Take two. That was two. Yeah, you got to put the mic on. Sometimes I forget.
I understand. Is the most exciting part of baseball watching a player that stinks? There is one now that is epically bad. He's loaded. He's due a lot of money. I think I saw he's due $95 million left on his contract.
Oh, my God, dude.
I think that's the number.
$95 million left on his contract.
Yeah.
For sucking.
And it's all guaranteed.
Gotta love it.
All guaranteed.
God bless
him. Get into that next. You're right. Only in America.
Exactly.
Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's Ferrell on the bench. Be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio at home. Ask Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week it's UVA sophomore DeAndre Hunter. Hunter led the Cavs with 27, helping UVA win its first ever NCAA men's basketball championship. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com.
You know what? Yeah. Now might be a really good time because Andrew Bogut is here to do his update shortly. And now might be a really good time to go into the results. A lot of our audience is listening because they want to hear about the NCAA basketball results. The tournament we had. So why don't you handle that, Moose?
I don't have the results in front of me.
Oh, I've really? Got them.
Oh, who's the? Oh, you got a mic?
I thought since you were teeing it up, you had it in front of you.
I have nothing. Go ahead, Mike. Go for it, bud.
Congrats to Adam Tepe, who finished with 140 points, picked UVA to win.
All right.
Is the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge winner.
Oh, a round of applause
for
Adam.
Very nice.
He gets the signed rundown.
We got to sign that in and send it out.
We'll send it out to him. I'll get his information.
Very nice.
Get his address.
Congratulations.
That's frame awesome. It up. Mm. Maybe I'll add a couple other bells and whistles. It'll be beautiful.
Very nice.
So he was an interesting name in the two spot of the whole hundreds of people. Who was second, Mike?
The Big Hoss. All capitals. Yes.
Oh, Taz, you finished second. Nice job, brother.
Comments were made on the show. It was horrible comments. It was nastiness. It was slanderous. And it was by everybody on the show, including you, Melusis. And now I stuck it to all you friggin' people.
Well, now I know why you wanted to go to the results.
What?
Now I know why you wanted to go to the results.
Oh. Well,
and you also just lied. You're like, I don't have the results in front of me.
I don't have them in front of me.
I know.
I read the run sheet.
That's not true.
Read the run sheet.
Taz.
It doesn't have your name on it.
You sure?
Oh, it does have Taz second.
There we go.
But let me see your computer.
No. Now I'm looking at it. Oh, yeah, now you can see my computer. I am looking at it now.
Yeah, you are.
I am. Well, the man was talking about it. I went to it.
I understand. Thank you.
But you, and also there were comments made. What was the total score of the game, Andrew? If you add the two numbers up,
85 plus 77,
162.
I'm not smart. Thank you.
Hey, remember we had a little conversation on this show. You remember this part, Moose, about the score, the gimmick you got to put in the middle of the score, like for the total combined final score tiebreaker.
Right.
I said I'm putting 161, and you snickered and made a face like you dumbass. Remember that part?
I don't remember snickering at that.
Yeah.
But you didn't have Texas Tech there.
Doesn't matter. Well, that's not a total combined final score.
I understand, but it's different when you have different teams.
Says who?
Oh, what are you talking about?
I have, look. See the orange V? That's Virginia.
I understand. I know you had Virginia winning it all, but if you mean to tell me, if you had Virginia, Texas Tech with a total of 161, I'd say go ahead to Atlantic City.
That's funny.
I mean, you had Virginia over who?
I had Virginia over Duke.
Okay.
Duke,
yeah. And he had 161. So a more offensive-minded game. If you told me you predicted 162 points Virginia and Texas Tech, I'd say that's a hell of a prediction.
Yeah, well, you know what? I did amazing.
You did an amazing job.
I did an amazing job.
I'm not trying to nitpick. Congratulations, Stats.
Yeah, you don't mean that. You're insincere. Cassandra Kelly was in 18th. Congratulations to her. I can't even find your name, Moose, on here.
Yeah, I didn't finish in last. That's the most important.
I have to do full standings to get
who's
all of us.
Buying breakfast. Who is it? And I'm picking with it. Who's who? Well, you,
Pete. Me. Pete the Body.
You picked Villanova to win the whole thing, right? Good move, buddy.
Yeah, Pete's total score was the worst of the group.
There you go.
Who's next to last? Moose?
Mikey B.
Another basketball savant.
Right.
Thanks.
Unbelievable, isn't it, Andrew?
He would have got an NBA pool, 100% correct.
Unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah.
By the way, earlier Moose called you a dumbass. Remember that, Andrew?
Oh, I do.
No, I said you're smart. I said you're smarter than
that. It's the same thing. You're semantics.
And then he took a shot at your university, the Fordham Ranch.
That I heard too.
Remember that part?
Yep. Yeah.
It's interesting enough because I just happen to have side-by-side comparison to Syracuse University, where Mark went, Malusis, that is, and right. Where you, Bogus, went. And they're actually very similar.
Glad we're moving on.
Academically. They're actually very similar. The acceptance rate is 47%. For Syracuse, where for Fordham, it's 46%. So they're actually very... Now, Fordham's more selective as far as... and so is Syracuse. So they're actually very similar. And the last stat I'll give you is four-year graduation rate. Syracuse is 70% of the students graduate in 4 years. And Fordham is 74%. So they're very... The schools are... So, I mean, you know, if you're going by how intelligent someone across the university went to, which really is stupid... then you both went to schools that are the same. So whatever Moose, the IQ, acronym, intellect of Andrew Bogus, you basically have the same one because you went to the same type of schools.
As long as you didn't take me too seriously.
Okay. No problem. Well, you said that he, you know, who, me or him?
I'm talking about you.
What about me?
I mean, well, you're breaking down the schools. I mean, it was a joke.
We love stats and facts on this show.
And you're not a stats guy.
No, I'm not. Correct.
That's right. You're becoming more and more of a stats guy.
No, because this show is obsessed with facts.
No.
It's obsessed with let's get it right. We have to CNN.
No,
it's obsessed with guests. It's like MSNBC. We just get guests and facts. Guests and facts. Guests and facts.
Seems like having fun.
It's a task. Come and join the morning show. Let's have fun. All right.
Let's make things up.
Next year, I'm in a freaking law school.
No, you're not in law school.
Well, anyway, so
I'm at the pulpit. I teach every morning.
Oh, you teach every morning.
Take it away, Bogus.
Your report is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Say 10-point lead. Midway through the second half, faded into a three-point hole in the final minute last night in Minneapolis. This time, it was DeAndre Hunter to the rescue for UVA.
Jerome will bring it up the floor. Jerome attacking, goes past Odiase, kicks right corner. Open three, DeAndre Hunter got it! Splashing it from the right corner to tie it at 68. 12.9 seconds to go.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Texas Tech missed twice on the other end. So the national title game went to overtime for the first time since Kansas and Memphis in 08. And Hunter hit another three that put the Cavaliers up for good with 2 minutes to go. They won 85-77 for the first national title in program history. Hunter finished with a career-high 27 points and 9 boards. His head coach, Tony Bennett.
That was a great two-way performance, defensively and offensively, in this game, in this setting. And he saved his best for last.
Defensively, he helped hold Jarrett Culver to 15 points on 5 of 22 shooting. All of this for Virginia, 388 days after their historic embarrassment against UMBC. Kyle Guy chosen most outstanding player after scoring 24 more points. UCLA swings and misses again. Rick Barnes staying at Tennessee despite reportedly an offer of more than $5 million annually from the Bruins. Chris Mullin expected to step down at St. John's according to multiple reports. And the Tennessee Lady Vols reportedly hiring Kelly Harper as head coach. She was in charge at Missouri State, won 3 national titles as Lady Vols point guard in the late 90s. No NBA action last night because of the national title game. Today is the second to last of the regular season. The Heat must win against the Sixers to stay alive for the eighth spot in the East. The Giants staked Madison Bumgarner to a 5-0 lead last night. You think that would have been enough against the Padres.
Franmil swings at the first pitch and launches one to deep left. If it's fair, it's gone. It is fair, it is gone. And the Padres lead.
As heard on Padres radio, go-ahead, two-run, pinch-hit homer from Franmil Reyes. San Diego rallying for the 6-5 win. Braves held off the Rockies 8-6. The Phillies topped the Nats 4-3. Same final, the Astros over the Yankees in Houston. And the Mariners, the first team to 10 wins, 13-5 over the Royals in KC.
You know, it's funny. I'm actually on the Retrievers Twitter account.
Oh, UMBC.
Yeah, basketball, that is. And they are trying to get the rub big time from the UVA. Because it's like, move on, UMBC. It's like they're UVA's biggest fans. If you take a look at this Twitter account, Andrew, you know, and it's crazy. Moose, you might not take a look. I know you only tweet about pro wrestling now. That's your new thing, Moose. That's a whole
no.
Nice
I
story.
Congratulate Kurt Hawkins.
That's your whole because you're a pro wrestler now. You're doing training now for you're training to be a wrestler.
No,
is that what
did,
I hear?
No, we did something for SNY for SNY.
You training to be a wrestler?
No, I am not.
Plus, I'd love to maybe work out with you in the ring. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, do a little quick workout. A little bit.
What?
No, I've come down to Kurt Hawkins.
We did a segment, Kurt Hawkins, yeah. Brian Myers. We had a great time. We went to his training facility out in Hicksville, Long Island, yeah. Licata and myself, and we did a piece for SNY.
Licata. People don't know. Who's Licata?
Sal Licata.
Okay, and, so the guy who lives in Nebraska or in Lansing don't know who Sal Licata is.
No, I understand. We did a piece for SNY. It was great. Brian's a great guy.
I'm sure he is.
Very good guy.
Oh, I love Brian. I know Brian a long time.
Yeah. Very good guy, and I was happy last night that he and Zack Ryder retained the Raw Tag Team title. It was
you
fantastic.
Breaking down wrestling. Unbelievable.
It was great. And we had a good time. We had fun.
For the record...
You had fun. If you were in my dojo, you wouldn't have fun. You'd be thrown up in a bucket.
Ain't no fun. It was a no fun dojo.
Thrown up in a bucket.
We had a good time.
But that segment was on a TV here, I think, during the day yesterday, and Bart Scott thought it was you two wrestling.
Really.
I think he saw Sal's hairless head and thought it was you, Taz.
Yeah, well,
Bart Scott
obviously doesn't understand what's going on. Yeah. He only, when I was in TNA, he was only there talking to me for an hour and a half. And talking about
obviously
careers
that
and
made
wrestling.
An impression.
So, no, you didn't make an impression. It's just that I find it interesting.
No, you did on him.
Oh, I don't really care. What
lifelong friends.
I don't really care. But it doesn't matter to me. But the thing is, no, he's a big wrestling fan, but he obviously doesn't, whatever. That's not the point. The point is, if you are going to be a wrestler, then I would love the opportunity to come out of retirement and maybe work out with you in the ring just for 2-3 minutes. That's all I need. Even 30 seconds. Just a quick little
it's
rendezvous.
It's like cheating on you.
No, I'd prefer it. Hawkins is a very nice guy.
Great guy.
Totally different person than me. Totally different mindset. And, you know, they train people in wrestling or have a guest like the Licata gentleman and Mark Malusis when they come into the gym.
Yeah.
And it's like they have a camera crew there for some reason because he's a Mets fan. That's why they were there. And so if you came in my dojo,
no, we were there. No,
it'd be a different story.
No, it was a matter of WrestleMania week and everything like that. And, yes, he threw out the first pitch. I think him and another guy threw out the first pitch Saturday at the Mets game. Just kind of built a relationship rapport. I mean, it was just fun. It was good. We did it last Sunday. it was
and you never told me about it. That's the funniest part.
Well, that's not true.
You mentioned to me.
You texted me. I told you.
Yeah, you messed me off air. You were going to go. No, I'll go down the stroll. I'd love to go down the road. What do you mean, let's not go down the stroad?
I told you. Let's go down the road.
I'm ready to go down the road. You told me off air.
I did.
And then I say, no, I see on the TV and on the Twitter, you're in the. I'm looking at Mark Malusis in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. And you think he would have said something? Hey, Taz, look, I actually got in a ring and I did this. I did. Like, really? Like, I got to see it on Twitter.
Well, it takes me 40 minutes to get through a story on the air as it is.
Oh, please. That's because you're correcting everyone around you. That's why.
I tried 19 times to tell you.
Correcting everyone. No,
Mike and Pete got it.
You did not. You did not try to tell me. But it's fine. I just want the opportunity to maybe I could teach you one or two holds in the ring.
I'm sure you could.
Being that you're trying to be a wrestler now, I could get you in the ring.
I'm not trying
And I might not be as friendly as Kurt Hawkins.
It's a great time.
Come to my dojo.
You don't have one.
You sure?
Yeah, you don't have one.
You sure I don't have a dojo?
Do you have a wrestling school?
Do you sure I don't have a dojo? Just because I don't have a school that's open to the public? Hold on a minute. Just Mr. Facts.
I have no idea.
Well, then don't say I don't have one, because you don't know what you're talking about.
Wrestling school.
I don't have a wrestling school. Doesn't mean I don't have a facility with a ring and a mat and a gym.
Isn't every dojo your dojo? You just walk in.
That's not true. But you're saying you don't have a wrestling school. How do you know what I have? You know everything. You know what I have? How do you know what I have or had or have connections to?
I don't know. I don't know. You're right.
If you want to roll in a ring with me.
I never said
I have a ring to roll.
We had a great time with Brian Myers. Congratulations.
You would
on
not
being
have. And I love Brian. I love Zach. I know Zach since he's about 12 years old. I know Moose. They're great guys. They're friends of mine. For a long time.
I understand that.
He keeps trying to do that. Great guys.
Like, he's well, what, for one
you
day.
Know what? What is, I'm not a great guy. No, that's your implication. I don't need to be a great guy. I'm
not,
an ass.
No, I'm not.
That's what I am.
What are you getting so sensitive?
I'm not sensitive.
You are.
Goon Jones. I'm sensitive. You walked outside and Andrew said one thing about Duke, about one of the Ducks, and you attacked the guy.
He made an asinine point.
You called him a dumbass.
So, we've established here that you have a dojo.
Hold on a minute. Who made an asinine comment? Who made me?
Bogus.
Oh, Andrew. Okay. Yeah. What are you talking about? I don't know what
relax
I'm talking
for
about.
Yourself
I
over there.
I just say it.
Relax. Pay attention to the conversation.
I am paying attention.
I just said he made an asinine comment, and then you're jumping out down my throat. Relax.
I am relaxed. This
Take
is
it
me
away,
relaxed.
This is nonsense.
I'm done.
It's not nonsense. What's nonsense?
This whole conversation is just nonsense.
What is it? No, what's nonsense?
We're just going around in circles.
I didn't hear what you said, that he was the one who made the comment. He made an asinine comment.
Gotcha.
So what do you? That's it.
I understand.
You tell me you don't have a wrestling school. What do you know? What I have?
You would have told me about it 8 times.
No, I wouldn't have told you. There's a lot of things I don't tell you. What I gotta tell you? What am I? Do I sleep next to you in a bed? You're my wife. What do I tell you? Give me a prayer. And you would have told me. I would have told you. What do you tell me? I would have told you. Get out of here.
What are we?
Please.
This conversation is stupid.
No, it's not stupid.
It is.
Because you didn't start the conversation?
We're going around in circles.
We're not going around in circles. You're telling me I didn't have a wrestling school.
You said you ever want to get in a ring. You said you don't have a
maybe
dojo.
I could teach you a move or two. That's
I'm
all.
Sure you could, and we've established that. All right, go
That's
ahead.
That's what Andrew. I'm saying to you. No, what is that? Go ahead, Andrew. I'm over here talking to you, and you just got to constantly do that with the whole take it away, Andrew.
Well, I did finish the update. We got to get the break, dude. We have time.
I'm in the conversation
more to discuss
with you.
Here.
Don't dismiss me.
I'm not dismissing
Andrew,
you.
Finish
there's
your
nothing
update.
More.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Finish
there's nothing more to discuss.
Andrew, finish your update, buddy.
Thanks, Taz.
You got it.
Two more AAF players getting NFL jobs. QB Luis Perez signs with the Eagles.
He's actually a good player, that kid.
Damorne Pearson-L joins the Raiders.
That's it?
That's
there
it.
There you go.
We waited for that?
Somebody did
Dell. All right.
All right.
I got you.
We'll get into Chris Davis and his struggles with the Baltimore Orioles. We'll do that next. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. CBS Sports Network is at Augusta National for a tradition unlike any other. As we keep an eye on golf's biggest stars, fine-tuning their game before taking the tee. It's Masters on the Range today at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. Orioles first baseman Chris Davis, who's making $21 million this year, has gotten 49 consecutive at-bats without a hit, 0-for-28, 15 strikeouts this season after going hitless in his final 21 at-bats of the 2018 campaign. He has now set a new major league record, surpassing Eugenio Velez, who had 46 consecutive hitless at-bats, 2010-2011. Other guys on the list, Craig Counsell, Dave Campbell, the great Bill Bergen as well in 1909. I mean, you look at Chris Davis now, and the amount of money that he is making as well adds a little bit more insult to injury when you look at Davis's struggles here. He's had 29 strikeouts, 20 swinging, 9 looking, 7 flyouts, 6 lineouts, 6 groundouts, and 1 reached on infielder's choice. So for Davis, at one point in time, Taz, he was a guy, you go back, what was it, 5 years ago now?
He was a 50 home run guy with the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
Had over 140 RBIs, maybe 138, something of that nature. You've seen his batting average precipitously drop in recent years, and now he's going through this stretch in which Baltimore Oriole fans have nothing to cheer about, and they are mercilessly booing him any chance they get.
This guy's taken slumping to a whole nother level. I mean, really, it's insane. He's not even hitting the ball great. When he is flying out or grounding out, like, you know, he's got a $161 million deal. I mean, like you said, 41 hitless at 41 at-bats, in the last 49 at-bats, I should say. It's embarrassing. I mean, and like you said, the Orioles, they stink. So it's like this guy now is just like hit a whole new low, getting $23 million per year. Unbelievable. Give money back, Chris. Give some of that money back, buddy. Really,
yeah. That would be nice. He has 4 years left, and I mentioned $95 million before, $92 million left on his deal, and that's including this season. So he's got three more years after this season. A staggering amount of money. Now, the deal that he initially signed, everyone at the time, and he had 47 home runs in 15, 53 in 2013. Everyone thought at the time, Taz, that the Baltimore Orioles had misspent some of their finances by bringing Chris Davis aboard. And there was not really any other team out there that was banging on the door to bring Chris Davis aboard. And now he's going through this kind of a stretch. Think about this. As Davis is 0 for his last 49, 75 hits have been recorded by pitchers. Two hitters that have had most hits by two players during that stretch. Christian Yelich, Anthony Rendon have had 36 each. During that span of his 49 at-bats, Yelich has got 12 home runs, 35 RBIs. Most hits without making an out, how about Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff? He's 3-for-3. Most at-bats without a strikeout, how about Martin Prado has had 21. So you look at the struggles, and it kind of puts it into kind of a little bit of a place of just how badly Chris Davis is struggling right now for the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, it's difficult to hit 400. It's difficult to hit 300. It is very, very difficult to go 0-for-49 when you're a major league hitter.
Yeah, at some point, you know, you need to have him just sit on a bench, but you're paying him all that money because last year he batted 168. Yeah. I mean, so it's like, you know, he's, you know, this guy, it's amazing. The money he's making and the just complete lackluster production, it sucks. I mean, Orioles fans got to hate him. They got to hate him. I mean,
they're booing him relentlessly.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're cheering him when he gets taken out of the game. This is obviously when they're home. There's not many people, obviously, at Oriole games either. They're expected to be, if not the worst, maybe the
second
worst.
Who's expected to be
team.
Worse, the Marlins or them?
I think the Orioles are actually worse.
Do you think it'll end up at the end of the year with a worse record than the Marlins, Baltimore?
If I had to venture a guess, I would probably say they do. Yeah.
Right now, the Marlins are 3-7,
and the Orioles are 5-5.
But it's so early, as we know. The Yankees are going to barrel through that, and the Red Sox, that whole division in the East. And
it's close. I mean, Taz, they're both terrible.
Yeah.
They're both bad baseball teams. They're not a lot to watch, at least down in South Florida, you have the weather.
Are they playing anybody? Are they paying anyone that kind of money? The Marlins? No, right? They're all their big money guys.
No.
Off the top of your head, you
all
know?
All their big money guys are pretty much gone.
Oh, for the Yankees. Playing with the Yankees. That's what they're. Right. All the big money guys are the Yankees.
Or Real Muto is a Philly.
No, it's me.
No,
it's
I'm
a
trying
stand,
to think.
You
know. Who else?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Real Muto's with the Phillies. I forgot about him.
I'm looking through their roster real quick. Anybody
yeah,
making
I don't think
some
any
money?
Of these guys are.
Well, I mean, not big money. I mean, Martino Prado makes a good amount of money. They brought Neil Walker aboard.
That's right. Neil Walker,
Castro,
74 years old.
Yeah, Castro makes a decent amount of money for a player that he is.
Not making $161 million.
No, no. They've got nobody on their team that's making that kind of money.
Right.
They paired everyone off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just curious to see who ends up worst at the end of the year, the Orioles or the Marlins. But the topic is Chris Davis. You stink, sir.
Well,
okay,
yeah.
You're in a really
bad slump. For Baltimore, there's not really – what are you going to do, Taz? I mean, he's not going to – I heard someone say yesterday, well, you know, if I were him, I'd retire. I mean, it's got to be – for a game that you enjoy playing, for him personally, obviously he doesn't want to go for 49.
No.
And he wants to be a productive major league hitter, and he's got pride. But for him, imagine showing up to the ballpark with a team with little to no expectations. – You are basically the poster child of ineptitude and being 0-for-49 for a team that could lose 110 games this year.
It's confidence is going to be horrible.
And you are the big headline in Major League Baseball, the fact that you were 0 for 49.
It's horrible.
They're not talking about anything else. You're not talking about DeGrom. You're not talking about the hot start for the Seattle Mariners. You're not talking about any of that. You're talking about Chris Davis being 0 for 49. He can't run away from it. He's making $23 million. He's not going to retire. He wants all that money. He's got $92 million coming his way. But, Taz, how painful it must be for him to step into that ballpark, especially at home. He's got to step in that batter's box with the weight of the world on him.
Yeah,
it's almost got to be like a World Series at bat.
It's the pressure on him. Please let me get a hit. Yeah.
Just let me get some kind of hit. I can't go 0 for 53.
I said earlier he's not hitting the ball hard. I mean, he had a shot a little deep yesterday to left field. And Orioles manager Brendan Hyde acted like great job, man. Way to go, Chris. I mean, you're getting it, bro. He was encouraged.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to motivate him. You know, it's a tough spot.
It's very tough.
You know, you're trying to keep the guy up. I mean, at some point you gotta sit him. I mean, you're paying him all that money, though. I mean, he's ice cold.
If MLB Network was smart, they should do what they did for, like, Barry Bonds when he was on the home run watch.
Yeah, McGuire and Sosa, right.
Yeah, they should go in. Let's say, hey, Chris Davis is up. Let's watch his at-bats. Let's see if he can keep getting this record.
It would be
and
funny.
Continue it.
As you know,
I'd watch every second.
Must-see TV. Yeah, but they'll never do that. That's so disrespectful.
That's fair.
It'd be like, leave me alone.
Yeah, the Orioles would be pissed.
You mentioned that line shot. They have stats for everything now. Off the bat, someone calculated that ball had a 58% chance of being a hit and obviously ended up being caught. But off the bat, they thought it was a 58%.
The one to left field.
Yes,
right.
Correct. Yeah. But ended up being caught.
Brendan Hyde's like, great job.
Right. At least he made contact. Yeah. You know, he's got 15 strikeouts and 28 bats this year. He's terrible. Mm. I mean, and that's where, Taz, it's kind of a lesson for a lot of teams out there. As we saw in free agency this offseason, where we saw Machado and Harper wait. And you're seeing guys now signing these contract extensions, Taz, players with respective organizations, your team, DeGrom signing that deal.
Yeah.
Because guys are a little nervous of hitting that open market, of exactly what the market is going to be. And you never know what the future holds, right? I mean, a perfect case in point is Luis Severino with the Yankees, who's about to have his second MRI on his shoulder.
Yep.
He signed a four-year, $40 million extension. People say, well, how do you only get $40 million? Well, you know, he's saying, okay, well, I'm going to guarantee myself $40 million just in case something happens. Now, if he has major shoulder surgery, Luis Severino will probably never be the same.
No.
Because it's one thing to bounce back from an elbow injury. It's much different if they cut open that shoulder.
That
if you're
shoulder,
a major league pitcher, just ask any former major leaguer. So I guess it's kind of a lesson where you look at Chris Davis, Taz, everyone says, well, spend. And you look at what Davis and how they spent their money then and how it looks like a complete albatross around the Orioles' neck now. He is a shell of the player that he once was. Wasn't probably deserving of the contract he initially got. Now he's due $92 million over the course of, after this year, three additional years. 92 over the next four if you include this season. He's going nowhere, and he is absolutely inept. And he's making $23 million this year.
This quote is, he hit three balls on the nose. This is what Hyde said. He goes, so I'm taking that as a positive moving forward. Hopefully, it's a good start.
Nope.
Well, man, it's rough.
It is. Tough time. Yeah. I mean, a tough time if you're Chris Davis.
Poor Orioles fans, I know.
Well, at least they're 5-5. They've actually played better than I thought they would.
I know. I thought they'd be like the Marlins, dead last right now.
They'd be like 2-8 right now.
Oh, that's coming.
I know it's coming. It's right around. You're right about that.
It's coming.
We're going to talk a little college hoops. We're going to welcome aboard our friend, associate head coach of Quinnipiac, Tom Pecora, is going to join Taz and myself. We'll talk about the national championship game. Where does St. John's go from here? Is they're looking for a new head coach? Is Chris Mullen reportedly out? Where does UCLA go for another head coach? We'll talk a little college hoops. Tom Pecora joins us next. It's Taz and Moose on a Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.